Presence would come in like that and minister to us as Jesus in Matthew, he got up and preached. As in the upper room, when the disciples felt the Holy Spirit fall upon them, Peter came out and he preached. So there isn't any problem with us transitioning into a time of proclaiming the Word of God. For those of you who heard a tongue out there, and understand, I want to make sure we all are on the same page and we understand the workings and the giftings of the Holy Spirit. He will offer up a gift of tongues. And then you want to hear an interpretation, not a translation, an interpretation. And we heard that. My heart was laid almost the exact same thing. And I'm blessed to be watching as that song and everything came into place. That's what God's all about. He ordains times, and the way he does it is supernaturally. And may you all be blessed by that. We encourage that here. And so thank you for all who have received and been blessed. As you're filling that up, as you're filling the coffers of your spirit up, it's meant for you to be poured back out as you go out there. That's what God's doing right now, right? Okay, amen? All right, we're going to get into God's Word. And if you want to sit here and be with the Lord, you're fine. I have no proper way of you sitting here as I preach. You be with the Lord and praise God. You want to come back up here and spend time at the altar, you do that. But I'm going to go ahead and proclaim some of God's word here as he's given me to do. And I've just been blessed. So thank you, God, for being just awesome. We're going to talk about peace. And that's what I'm filled with, just this peace of God right now. And it's not an emotion. But I'm going to be talking in Philippians chapter 4. Why don't you go ahead as you're able to get a hold of your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to title this message, "The Peace, Finding Peace in a Conflicting World." Finding peace in a conflicting world. And when I started this, I had nothing I was saying earlier this week, and I just wrote peace, and I underlined it. Peace. And I meditated for a while, and I sat with that for a while. I read some scriptures over that. And as God worked into me, he gave me some illustrations just as peace, always sought after, rarely found in our world. Peace seems to be awfully elusive in our world today. Since Adam and Eve, really, disobedience to God has ushered in an unsettling, a breaking. And the fact is, peace, at least on the world's level, it's not even an option. Really, peace is only going to be experienced on the supernatural, out of this world. And here are some statistics that came to my mind as I was thumbing through it and I was grabbing hold of things that I thought were interesting. Of about the 3,500 years of recorded history, and there's different numbers I found on this, but of about 3,500 years of recorded history, about 280 of those years were without war. It's a lot. Thousands of treaties have been drafted, and of those treaties, 8,000 of them, averaging only 2 years in length, have been broken. Treaties not even worth the paper they're written on. Since the armistice, that was the peace day we celebrated as Veterans Day, November 11th of World War I, 1918, it was supposed to be the war that ends all wars. Since then, for every year of war, there's been 2 minutes of peace in our world. Things are getting worse, loved ones. Peace is elusive. And the Bible declares the elusiveness of peace in the last days. 1 Thessalonians, we could look at that, chapter 5, verse 3. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." A shout out to Robbie and his family for the new ones they have. They know about those labor pains. We have today peace prizes, we have treaties, we have alliances, we have truces. How do we pursue peace in such abysmal circumstances when the world is falling apart? What I realized was peace is more than just toleration. It's not ignoring or setting aside conflicts. Make a note of this. Peace is the elimination of conflict. The elimination of conflict. Somebody sent me this definition earlier this week, and I thought it was perfect timing, so I'm going to read this to you. Peace. I'll read it a couple times. You want to jot this down. Settled confidence of mind from a right relationship with God, unaffected by by circumstantial change. Settled confidence of mind from a right relationship with God, unaffected by circumstantial change. That's a definition of peace. Pursuing peace is a challenge. Finding peace is difficult. But I want to let you all know I've got some good news. It is possible. Amen? Come on now. You guys are all, I know God's presence has been around. Amen? It is possible. And I want to talk about that today as we open up in the Philippians chapter 4. We're going to get into God's word as we open up in prayer here. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your sweet presence. I thank you for the Holy Spirit's workings and abilities to get through even the hardest of hearts. Someone here, many of us here, needed to experience some of the presence of Almighty God in our lives in a special way. And I hope everyone has just had a taste of that because there's so much more to come. And Lord, I don't believe we're waiting till heaven to experience that. I believe you said heaven will be on earth through you. And so, Lord, you've given us that Holy Spirit. So work into us in wonderful ways as we proclaim the word, as we look for that peace that is only found in you. We ask that you bless this time, and we give honor and glory to you and to you alone. In the precious name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. All right, let's head on over to Philippians 4. We're going to look at verses 2 through 9. I'll go ahead and read that. You can sit, stand as you are wanting to, but I'm going to start reading Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 2. It says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gladness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Peace. Peace. It's not as elusive as people may say, I believe. I believe it's there for the taking. It's very easy to understand who God is if we understand who Jesus is and what he's done. And what I've seen here is some instruction on how to find peace in our conflicting world. Now we're going back to understanding what peace is. And I broke this out into three realms that we can maybe find peace. You can write these down. I'm going to come back around and you can fill them in. But I found it, a peace is found in relational peace, relationships and not. Peace is found in circumstances, as that definition I gave. It doesn't matter the circumstance. Peace can be found. And then there's also peace within yourself, peace of your mind, peace in your heart, peace in your spirit. Individual peace is what I call that. And we're going to take a sphere of these three and we're going to expound on these because I want you all to take this home today. And I want you to understand you don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. You don't have to pick your nails. You don't have to bite and stumble around. What are those little spinner things my kids have? Those little fidget things, right? You don't even need those. We have a God who is peaceful and gives us peace. And so we understand how peace is attained. We're going to start with number one here. Peace is possible in your relationships. Peace is possible in your relationships. Romans 12:18 really clearly says it here. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Man, that's a hard command, Paul. Why are you telling me if it's as much as possible? You limited this command, Paul, to me? That's exactly right, loved ones. If you're going to have peace in your relationships, who are we to start with? With me. You know, there was this profound philosopher back in my day. He was an animated chap. He was found in a movie with a little deer, and he was a little rabbit. His name was called Thumper. And Thumper had a profound understanding of speaking, and he spoke this. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. There's a way to start peaceful relationships. Maybe watch your mouth and understanding, hey, what do I have to say here? And Paul's telling us that whatever you can do, you need to do it. And so he breaks out a couple people here in the scripture. Now, this is very rare for Paul to break out two named individuals to have to deal with an issue. He names people throughout his writings. But here we find Euodia and Syntyche, and I hope I have that pronounced right. I'm not sure. But these were prominent women in the Philippian church. Verse 3 tells us that very clearly, as we see that they labored with Paul in the gospel. And he even goes on to say and proclaim that their names are written in the book of life. He's setting his neck out there and proclaiming who these women are. He's seen in them a spirit of God. He's justifying that, first of all, let's look at them as Christians. And so we need to understand what he's saying. And as he's vouching for these women, they're in a disagreement. What? I thought all Christians were just kind of getting along. Isn't that what we know, all Christians? Don't we all just get along? One big, happy family? You know, today I hear a lot of people say, man, I wish we were like that church back in Acts in the first century. I wish we could just be, you know, finding power in the Holy Ghost and allowing us just to get along, breaking bread with everybody and just having a big singing kumbaya party. That's not what was going on, loved ones. They were human beings too. They were working this thing out called the Christian walk. And here we find that Paul was proclaiming to these prominent women, hey, I want you guys to resolve your conflict. You see, Paul knew a little bit about conflict. I could probably, if I was looking at this when I was preparing this message, I could probably fill up two sheets of lined paper with the conflicts that Paul went through. Here are some just to give as an example. Paul in a plethora of conflict with John Mark, Barnabas, Peter, the Jews, the Romans, various churches, and the many who forsook him. Conflict after conflict after human being interaction. Oh man, what is wrong with these church people? But this is what Paul taught us through that. Loved ones, Paul taught us conflict resolution. Paul taught us how to get through the conflict to a resolution that can bring forth peace. And here Paul's going to throw that influence into the ring. He's going to be the third person, and he's imploring the church leaders, true companion, Clement, these true leaders in the church of Philippi, help these women get along, resolve, get to back on understanding of who Jesus is. A little side note, we were getting through the book of Philippians. There's another book I could preach through in one message. It's called Philemon. Philemon is all about Paul throwing his hat in the ring, getting two people together because of their conflict. This wasn't abnormal. And so as Paul sticks his hand out there and says, hey, I want to offer a way of peace here, he's calling on that church to be the mediators they need to be. He's saying, let's get involved. Let's get in the middle of it. Let's get it on the table and deal with it. You know, when you get a couple of people who love Jesus, really seeking resolution, almost always produces a great result. When you get somebody who is understanding who Jesus Christ and what he did for them, seeking to get beyond what it is here that's bothering me and get their eyes on Jesus, isn't that what was going on when he said in verse 2, I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord? Can we get our minds off the little nonsense you guys are pit-pattering about? Let's get our mind on Jesus Christ. And that's what he's doing here. We got to deal with it. And by the way, when there's a Christian and a non-Christian, this works also. When you're the higher road of Jesus' love to a human being who doesn't know the love of Jesus, you're showing them the gospel. Amen? And that is a big blessing to those who don't know. And again, Romans 12:18, as much as depends on you to live at peace with everybody. You don't want to look for a church, really. You know, some people are out there looking for churches all the time that's absent of conflict. Anybody ever hear that, oh, you know, I'm looking for a church because all those people all fighting all the time. I want to find one with no conflict. That's not going to happen. Not going to happen. But what you do want to find in the church is that the leaders and the teachers and the people are preaching and teaching and doing conflict resolution. They're looking to find ways to bring peace amongst each other. And so as we look for that, we find unity, we find healing, we find power. And that's when Jesus says in John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. People are watching loved ones. You have people in the community, in your families, in your relational aspects, in your work, watching you, huh? What are you Christians really like? Do you really practice what you preach? Yeah, there's hypocrites, loved ones. Yeah, we say one thing and we do another. There's hypocrites over there in Walmart. Do you still go shopping at Walmart? Yeah, we all do. Here's the difference. In the understanding of the church, we acknowledge our sins before each other and before a holy God, and we look for ways to get through things. Amen? And that brings healing and power. That's the God we serve. And so finding peace in our relationships, this is how it works. Importance, big ones. Be humble. Don't be so sensitive. Don't have everything hit on you and it's a dart you're going to get stuck in your heart for the next 3 months. Be humble. Here's another one. Let others speak into your situation. Sometimes God will use within the church another person just to implore you or exhort you or admonish you. Say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be messing with that kind of nonsense. That's leading us off into disunity. And here's another one. Look at the person, not the issue at hand. Sometimes the issue is so third secondary, you'll forget what it was even about. But when you look at the person, you see a human being. And look at him with Jesus' heart, you see a human being who needs to be loved. That's what conflict resolution. I believe 9 out of 10 major conflicts would have been avoided if people would just let them roll off their back. Whatever it was, just, I'm not even bothering about that. Not a big deal. Roll off your back. That's relational peace. Very important in our lives. We can't get away from relationships. Here's number two. This is a big one. Circumstantial peace. I struggle with this, loved ones. I mean, I get into it sometimes and I'm going through looking at what I got going on. I got a big family. We just moved. We got a church that's in transition and all these ups and downs. I'm like, oh my, what are you doing, God? What is going on? How am I going to handle this? It's like quickly I get into this spiral downwards. I got to get back out. So when I was writing this to myself. So verse 4 here. First off, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I just love that verse. That's kind of an interesting verse. Kind of comes out of nowhere. What I believe this really was, remember Paul sitting in a jail cell in Rome. Although he was writing to others, I believe he was as much writing to others as the Holy Spirit was writing to him. Hey, Paul, rejoice in the Lord and rejoice always in the Lord. And he wrote that down not only for himself but for others. Loved ones, when you're dealing with circumstances, do you know rejoicing in the Lord, what we were doing here and praising him, will get you back on track real quick. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him always. That's your first combat against circumstances that plague you. Such encouragement, such redirection. And there are some paths, really, loved ones, that take us down. But then there's the narrow path that leads to life. Rejoice in the Lord, he says. In verse 5, again, another encouragement. He says here, let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That's a little exhortation about Jesus Christ is coming soon. We all know that, right? We see the signs of the times. We see some things going on in our world. The birth pangs happening. Jesus is coming soon. And I can't wait, but I know there's work still to be doing. So a little redirection there from Paul, and he gets here into verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Loved ones, anxiety can be produced by anything and everything. Each of us are different. We all are affected in different ways. But here Paul says that we are not to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. I was reminded of Jesus as he goes further in Matthew 6:25. He says, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. His command not to, loved ones, it makes anxiety, it makes worry, it makes fear a sin. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because it's showing your unbelief. And Jesus can't work in unbelief. He can't work without the faith of a mustard seed. He needs something to work with. He needs you to believe. Do you not know you have a Father, as we sung up here, a good Father in heaven who loves you? He loves you more than all the people in your life, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, on and on, your kids loved you all combined. God loves you more? Man, he's a good, good father. So what's your game plan against worry? Paul, can you tell us a little something, please, Paul? Yes, but in everything, prayer and supplication. What's your first game plan against worry about circumstantial unsettlement? Prayer. Prayer. And not only prayer, but what kind of prayer? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thankful prayer. If I got somebody or it's myself that is dealing with this, I break out the thankful list. You ever do the 100, the thankful 100? You ever get into a deep, dark spot where you're just, circumstances are overwhelming you? Get out a sheet of paper and start writing 100 things that you are thankful for. Bill, I can't do that. Yes, you can. How about your breath? How about your heartbeat? How about the sun today? How about your feet work? How about your eyes work? Some of you don't have their eyes working too well. How about your ears? Maybe not your ears. It doesn't matter. What are you thankful for that God has given you? That will start drawing you back up out of the pit. And that's how peace is possible, even as you're going through difficult, difficult circumstances. Every Christian eventually comes face to face with trials. We have sickness. We have financial issues, loss of jobs, death, loved one dies. But fear wants to take your life over in those circumstances. Worry wants to crush you. Anxiety wants to strangle you. But we choose pray. We choose thankfulness, not torment. Because fear at its root is unbelief. God says he draws near to the heavy-hearted. God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know the Bible goes on and on with promises how he will be there to walk with you through the fires, through the valleys, through the waters? And he says, you will not burn, you will not drown, and I will bring you to the other side. Who wants to serve a God like that? Who wants to see God work in you like that? You see, when others run, when everything around you, all the people are flying in other directions saying, your life's a train wreck, I'm out of here, God's coming closer. God's coming closer, and he's embracing you with a love that you've never yet known. And your most profound moments with God occur during life's darkest moments, not when you're happy. I like to use the moments of when we were in Alaska, and we would see 15,000-foot peaks out there, and nothing was up there but snow. Beautiful, beautiful views if you could get up there. Denali's right down the road there. It was 20,000 plus feet. You get up there, you could see for a long ways. Gorgeous, exhilarating. It's like the mountaintops of life. You get up there, God's showing his glory and power. And you're like, woohoo! But can I ask you a question? What grows on the mountaintop up there? Nothing. It's just an experience. It's part of life's blessings. You know where everything grows? Down there in the valleys. It's when you get down below 6,000 feet that you see the tree line. You start seeing the bushes. And then you get down below and you see the grasses of the field. That's where it all grows. In the valleys of life is where you start to grow, loved ones. Be thankful for what God has given you. Be thankful what he's getting you through. Yes, I love the blessings. I love the mountaintop experiences. But it's awfully cold up there. And sometimes I got to come down and see what the reality of the valleys are all about. 2 Timothy 1:7, talking about fear, says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. 1 John 4:18, right after it, perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Fear is not conducive with peace, loved one. And when fear, when worry, when anxiety come, what do I do, Paul? How do I work this out? Well, he gives you one there in verse 8. Finally, we got that verse sitting right on that hallway. By the way, we should all memorize this verse, all right? Can I give you a challenge this week? Any of you don't memorize scripture? Philippians 4:8. Let's go ahead with it. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Memorized by every person. This begins to take the third point of bringing peace to your mind. See, why do I have to memorize that, Bill? Because if it's in your heart, when the problems come, you're not looking around for a Bible, which, loved ones, when you're in the deepest, darkest, the Bible's usually not around. You're dealing with issues. You're playing defense. It's what's in your heart now that's going to work. It's what's deep down in your spirit that's going to start coming out and bring fountains of life in the darkest times. And your mind starts to bring peaceful understandings of who God is. And so meditating on this, memorizing these scriptures, you need to determine to center your thoughts on these things, is what Paul says. And he even says, I'm showing it by my example. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Because why? The God of peace will be with you. It will be with you. Loved ones, the main battlefield for us is our minds. Really, when it comes down to it, you can't get away from yourself. No matter where you go, there you are. I could run over here, I could run over there, I can hide over here, but your mind, who you are, is still with you. So controlling your thoughts, it may be difficult, but this will be the key to the path of victory. And when your thinking gets thinking and gets you off track, it's this type of behavior and meditation that gets you back on track. God's good. He's given us ways to deal with life's problems. And soon, as I've heard some of you tell me, I hear, hey, this works, Pastor. It does work because it's from God. It does work because it's His way. And it does work because it glorifies Him. And you have to be proactive. So you have to look to heal relationships. You have to look to be thankful in prayer over your circumstances. And you have to look to be meditating on godly things for a peaceful mind. Loved ones, peace is a noble pursuit, but it's worth it. And it'll bring you to another level in your Christian walk. I've been blessed today. I'm glad you've all been here to join with us as we've been enjoying the presence of God. May you go this week and find the peace that surpasses all understanding in a new and fresh way. You all have a great week in the Lord. You are loved. I hope all of you can join us in the fellowship hall. I'll try to keep it short. And hopefully we can enjoy this time of the Lord's presence showing us a vision for the church. God bless you all.